Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you all on board on another Power Friday, and it is going to be another Power Friday for sure. We have Dr. Albert with us, ready to discuss power politics. How about that?
That's awesome.
Dr. Albert, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing awesome as well. Dr. Albert, is okay if I let Teddy Pendergrass kind of help set the mood for us?
Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Teddy Pendergrass, now on the album, they say it's Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, but really and truly, singing the lead and all the background vocals on this song, it's all about Teddy Pendergrass, who he is, encouraging all of us to wake up. The name of the song is Wake Up. Everybody.
Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now.
What do you think about that, Dr. Albert? He's declaring that the world won't get no better on its own. We've got to do something to make it better.
That's right. I agree. Well, I love that music. We can just listen to that all day.
I tell you what.
Never go platinum without the Blue Notes.
There you go. All never, right. never. Well, and you know, talking about the world getting better, I know that we have people who say, hey, all we got to do is let mankind do their thing. And because of the goodness that is just automatically in us, we will make the world better. But we're seeing more and more going on all around the world that strongly indicates that things are getting worse. And one of the things I'm thinking about, and I'd like for you to really share your insights with us on this. I was listening the other day as they were talking about China's plan to use tact and suave moves, diplomacy, et cetera, to continue to try to bring Taiwan into the fold, make Taiwan officially part of China. And if this still doesn't work within the coming years, well, by 2025, they're saying we are prepared to go ahead and use military force and force Taiwan to become legally and formally part of China. If you could share with us what their historical relationship is between those two, and then walk us up to the notion that military force may at some point be used to make them one.
So, all right, this is a loaded question. Let me make sure I get everything. Let me address the first part for a minute where you say people say that it's getting worse and worse every day. So this is something we hear every generation say, that, oh, it's so much worse today than it was when I was growing up or something like that. Yeah. But if you can think from the history of time, going to the Romans, I mean, you can't get worse than the Romans. Or if you want to get biblically inspired, well, I mean, there's some death and destruction that the Old Testament talks about. So we have to remember that we're not born in a utopia where, you know, we're created kind of for the capability of goodness, but also for the capability of great evil. Yes. And a lot of political philosophy and a lot of politics is based on that premise. You know, humanity are, you know, half angelic, but we're half devils as well, or half, you know, demon inspired. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep that in mind and kind of don't let that throw us down or off the track of goodness or hope or inspiration. But we always just remember, with free will, we're going to see that death and destruction and evil, unfortunately, carrying on. That's why we need good people and,
yes, sir,
messages of hope and some Teddy Pendergrass to help us stay inspired.
That's right.
Right? So now that I kind of waxed philosophically for a minute, China, if your listeners aren't familiar with it, had a revolution in the 40s. And what happened was Mao Zedong overthrew the Chinese government and forced them out, and they fled onto the island of Taiwan. And they claim to this day that they're still the official representative of China.
Interesting.
The communist government that won that conflict says we still recognize you, Taiwan, as a part of our government, the communist government of China, and we have never not recognized you as a part. We haven't officially swallowed you up because the United States will protect you from that happening. And the United States doctrine, oh, since about the 70s, has been something called dual ambiguity, where we're not really telling you what we recognize as the Taiwanese or the Chinese government. Now, we trade and we have different negotiations going on with Taiwan, but we never say that publicly so we don't hurt the feelings of the communist regime in Beijing. It's really complicated theoretical situation. It's not that theoretical. I mean, it's practical as well, so it's difficult. But we have two-track diplomacy where we're trying to play China against themselves. We want Taiwan to be its own government. That's official American or U.S. policies. We would like for them to be their own country, of course, because we don't want a communist country. Taiwan has been fairly democratic compared to other Southeast Asian nations, other Asian countries. So that's in our policy and our grand strategy to promote democracy worldwide, and Taiwan fits into that. We do have a military alliance with them. So if China does decide that it wants to take military capability and military strikes against Taiwan, at least our stated policy is that we will defend with military might the people and the government of Taiwan. Now, they have ballistic missile shields built around their island. They have a great navy, which we've supplied them. Missile defense is everything you can think of. But, of course, they would lose a direct confrontation with China if the United States doesn't step up. I'm sure this is probably just a negotiation tactic by China to try to see if they could coerce or put something in the front of President Trump to make him do something that they want him to do. This is power politics. I don't think the Chinese would be willing to go to war over Taiwan, but they're probably thinking the same thing. The Americans probably aren't willing to go to war over Taiwan, so maybe it's a good chance for them to try it.
Mm-hmm. So you think that maybe this is just a bluff coming from China?
We always got to be prepared that it's not a bluff. So we put the proper actors in place to make sure that if it does happen, we're prepared. But yeah, I think it's probably a negotiation tactic. Though, you know, China likes to see what other players on the international stage are doing, and the United States didn't do anything to help Crimea when Russia took over. And so China could be saying, well, hey, America talks big, but they don't do anything, so this is our chance. Let's just do it. They're not willing to risk it. Maybe our grand strategy has changed, China's thinking. Mm-hmm. But even though we have the same umbrella of global strategy since the end of World War II, really, each foreign policy under that broader spectrum of grand strategy changes slightly. And so President Obama probably had a foreign policy where he didn't want to aggravate the Russians too much, give them a little land in Crimea, let it stall there. We don't want to get into a major conflict, so there's not much we can do. Put some economic sanctions on them, and that's it. But perhaps if they did anything further, and you know, we never verified it was them in eastern Ukraine. You know, we know it was, but we never verified it legally. We'll give it there, but if they go any further, we'll prevent them. We'll go to war. That perhaps was a President Obama's foreign policy under our grand strategy. What the Chinese might not be considering is that that might have been President Obama's foreign policy, where he's going to let you grab a little bit of land to avoid conflict. President Trump's foreign policy might not be that cautious towards other powers taking something else. What makes this even more difficult, though, is that the Chinese government has always recognized Taiwan as a part of its own. And so they're just saying, this is us. We're just, you know, we're going to officially reclaim it and pull it into our umbrella of power. And we have been kind of ambiguous purposely on that. But I don't think you will see the same response from the United States under President Trump that you did under President Obama. I think President Trump believes we are safer if we project our power and use it when it's in the United States' grand strategy and our interest. And certainly the protection of human rights and democracy promotion in Taiwan is under our great interest and our grand strategy.
And that was going to be the next question I wanted to ask you. What makes Taiwan important to America?
Well, they have that certain type of capitalism that promotes trade, free trade, or, you know, as free trade as you can get in today's globalization. Well, they trade a lot with the United States. They promote a certain understanding of human rights that is friendly to the United States' perception of human rights. They reject Chinese communism, which is important for us. So it's an understanding of the same view of what the proper government should be, what a good regime, what a good society is, what's the best society. Mm. So the Chinese, of course, have a completely different conception of the best society. I'm not judging that. I'm just stating an objective fact. And we want the Taiwanese to associate more with our understanding rather than the Chinese.
Because for one thing, if, I guess even though they're not nearly as strong as China,
right,
Taiwan could be viewed as being somewhat of, particularly if they work along with countries like Japan and other Asian countries, they could be seen as part of a stabilizing force that can kind of counter some of the maneuvers that
If they fall within completely, if China retakes or reclaims that territory officially and their sphere of influence is technological, or the proper word we use in political science, they control the shipping lanes, the fishing rights in between all that sea, the air rights above that sea, space rights. You have to get flyover permissions then. The United States military that operates and trains in Taiwan is no longer allowed to do that. So China would stop all of that commercial, military, and just legal maritime law that we have in place with the Taiwanese.
I got you. Dr. Craig Albert putting it down for us, ladies and gentlemen, sharing tremendous insights. I like the way you make it all make sense.
Thanks.
We'll be right back, so stay with us. Be back in just a few.
Before they pass away, wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we